to our service this morning. You know, life is really unpredictable at the moment. We're never quite sure how many we're going to have. We don't know whether last week we were absolutely packed, and this week we've got a few more chairs now we've asked the children to sit in the front. But maybe there are people coming in late who just were staying up a little late last night to watch a certain tennis match. Wasn't that amazing? So quite unexpected. You know, God can do miracles, can't he? So welcome, all of you. Welcome to those who are watching online as well later on today or another day. It's really lovely to have you with us. Welcome if you're a visitor. I know we've got some visitors this morning who are here for the first time and some who are only here for the second time, I think. So it's really, really lovely to have you here. One of the reasons why actually there might be a few more people elsewhere this morning is because today is the Malvern Wells Village Fete, and right now they should be just about coming to the end of the outdoor service that they were having there. So an extra service up on the Malvern Wells on the green up there this morning, which Peter is running with the Methodist minister Nigel. So maybe they've got crowds up there. We are continuing today looking at the second week of our series called Encountering the Heart of God. And I've been really encouraged by some of the conversations I've had this week of people thinking about God and who is God to them. And we talked last week about our pictures of God. And we're going to be continuing to work through these couple of verses in Exodus where God describes himself who he is. So these are amazing verses because they say, this is God saying, this is who I am. So we're going to start by saying them together. We're not going to say the tricky bit at the end right now. I said last week there was a tricky bit at the end. We're going to come on explaining that. We're just going to say the nice bits today. And then after that, we're going to lead into our first song, which actually, if you listen carefully to this first song, says, and we sing some of the words that we're going to say in these verses. So listen carefully to hear if you can see some of the same words in what we're going to say as what we're going to sing. And as last week, we really would love the children and any adults that want to grab a flag. There are some flags out there and some instruments when we sing the song, and just to celebrate with the flags and the instruments too. So let me first pray. Lord, thank you that you are a God, as we talked last week, who wants to know us and wants us to know you. Thank you that you're not a distant God, but that you're a God who loves us deeply and welcomes us into your presence this morning. And I thank you for each person that's meeting here. We thank you for each person that's meeting up at the Village Fete in the outdoor service there right now. We thank you for every person who's meeting at all the other churches across our town. We pray your blessing on them. And may we draw near to you as you draw near to us this morning. So let's stand and say these words of this is who we're worshipping this morning. This is how God describes himself. Let's stand. So the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Let's sing 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord.
Worship his holy name.
Slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. And for all your goodness, we will keep on singing. We have 10,000 reasons for our heart to bless your name. So we thank you for being with us. Reveal more of yourself to us, we pray, as we gather here this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Do take a seat. If you children could put your... back in there, that'd be great. Now, I want to just share a little tiny bit before the children go out, because you're going to be doing the same story this morning, children are, as the grown-ups are. And I want you to think about that a little this morning. But first of all, I just wanted to show you this picture. Last night we saw a great British sporting achievement. But it's not always like that. Can anybody tell me, does anybody know when this picture was taken and what's happening here, or even what's just happened here? Does anybody know? Alfie? It is the Euros, yeah. And do you know what's just happened here to this guy called Saka? He didn't just score, he did the opposite. He just missed a penalty. You see, he just missed in this picture the penalty that meant England lost the final of the Euros against Italy. That's right, Alfie. You remember it well, don't you? And I just want you to imagine what it must have been like for him. You see, he goes and scores the penalty, and then actually when he misses it, he has that long walk home, doesn't he? That long walk back to where his teammates are, thinking, everybody hates me. I've messed up. I've failed. I've got it all wrong. And you know what happened? As soon as he got back to his teammates, this happens. Gareth Southgate, the manager, went straight up to him and just put his arms around him. And I bet he didn't really say anything. I bet he just put his arms around him. And by doing that, he was showing Saka compassion. He was saying, you know, it doesn't matter that you failed. We still love you. We still think you're an amazing footballer. We're still behind you. We're still for you. And it doesn't matter what's happened. We are here and we love you. And you know, that reminded me when I saw that picture of another picture. And it's this picture. Now, this picture is actually belongs to my son, Josh. And I gave it to him on his last birthday. Because it's the picture of the story that we're going to read today about the prodigal son. Can you see why I think it's a bit like the picture I've just showed you? Because what we've got here is the Father, God the Father, putting his arms around the son who had messed up and who'd gone a long way from home and who'd done bad things. And he had a long walk home too. He had a long walk home back to his father, and he didn't know how his father was going to meet him, his father who represents God in this story. But when God, his father, saw him, he opened his arms wide and gave him a big hug like Gareth Southgate did to Saka. And said, it doesn't matter what you've done, I love you. You're my precious child. And we're going to celebrate because you're back home. And I gave this picture to my son just to say that, you know, whatever he does, you know, even if he messes up in life, that my arms as his father are always going to be open wide for him. But even more than that, that God's arms are always going to be open wide for him. And that is the story that we're going to think about today and you're going to think about. And now in our service, we're going to say sorry to God. We're going to say sorry to God for those times where we haven't done what he wanted us to do. But what we know from this story is that when we say sorry to God and come back to him, God doesn't greet us with a wagging finger and tell us off. He greets us with open arms and says, welcome home, I love you and I forgive you. So let's say our sorries to God and asking God to help us live as he wants us to live. So I'm going to say the bits in yellow. I'd love you to join the bits in white with me and think about these things and what you might want to say sorry for. So, Father God, we come to you to say sorry for the times when we don't remember that you are a God of love and we forget that we're called to share your love with others. We're sorry. Lord, forgive us. For the times when we don't remember that you give us so much and we forget that we should be generous towards others. We're sorry. Lord, forgive us. For the times when we don't remember that you've made all things and we forget to treat your creation with care and respect. We're sorry. Lord, forgive us. For the times when we simply don't remember you and that you're always with us, and we forget to spend time with you or turn to you for help. We're sorry. Lord, forgive us. And I wonder whether there's anything particularly that actually you specifically want to say sorry to God for this week. Maybe actually something that you know in your heart, all of us know, and I'm thinking myself, where I've got it wrong this week. And I need to think about that thing and just say specifically, I'm sorry to God for that thing. Why don't you do that just right now, but knowing that God's going to welcome you with his open arms. So for these things, Lord, known only to us, we're sorry. Lord, forgive us. And so remember, everybody, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious one, the one who is slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness forgives you, restores you, breathes new life into you, and says, welcome back, my precious child. So knowing that, we're going to send you children off to your groups. Who's had a good week at school this week? Yeah, we've been particularly praying for you as you've gone back to school this week. So I'm going to pray for you now and you're going to have a really special time. So Lord, I thank you for our precious children. I thank you that actually you love them so dearly and want to show yourself to them. And we pray this morning that they will learn more about you and that they would know, not just in their heads, but in their hearts, your great love for them and help them to have great fun with their group leaders. In Jesus' name, amen. So children and pathfinders, you're going off to your groups now, and we'll see you later on in the service, after the service. And as they go off, we're going to sing in response to that, just to reaffirm again what we just talked about, that the Lord is gracious and compassionate. That as far as the east is from the west, so far does he put our sins from us. So let's stand and again sing these words. Sung today just who you are. We've sung our praises to you. And I just want to pray again that prayer that we finished with at the end of last week. The prayer that I'm praying for all of us in this season as we look at this sermon series. Lord, help us to know you that we may truly love you. And love you, that we may truly serve you. Lord, help us to know you. Reveal yourself to us today. That head knowledge will turn to heart knowledge and a heart love for you. And as we just learn to love you, we'll learn to live our lives in response to what you've done for us and who you are. May we know you, that we may truly love you, and love you, that we may truly serve you. Amen. Do take a seat, and I'm really delighted this morning that to invite Colin and Russell up. Where are you? And for some of you, this might be the first time that you've seen Russell in person, but many of you will have seen Russell on one of our videos, and particularly the Advent calendar. So I'm not going to say any more. I'm going to leave Colin to share what he wants to share.
Thanks, Dave. Dave asked me to give a little plug for Alpha, which I'm always delighted to do, but I couldn't think of a better way of presenting it than inviting my really great friend Russell to come and share what Alpha has meant to him, or what getting to know God has meant to him. So, Russell, what was it that first tempted you to do the Alpha course?
Marion's food, actually. I was working at your house, and Marion was doing a lot of cooking and taking the food elsewhere, and I wanted to know where it was going. It was going to a course called Alpha. Colin and Marion both told me what it was about, and I guess I thought, I'll have a go at that and prove you all wrong. Here I am.
But it didn't quite work out like that in so many ways, because it was soon after that event that lockdown kicked in and we had to do Alpha by Zoom. So how was that for you?
It was okay for me. It was definitely strange times. I made a lot of friends, some of them that I haven't even met to this day apart from online. I really enjoyed it personally, and we're still going with the life group. So
Brilliant. And did you manage to persuade us we were wrong?
No, that would be the evidence you were showing me, so I kind of had nowhere to go.
So, Russell, can you just share perhaps a couple of things, the impact that Alpha's had on your life?
Yeah, I'd love to. I come from a background of addiction, and a lot of pain, to be honest. Sorry, I'm a bit tearful this morning for some reason.
It's okay, mate. It's okay.
I found myself relapsing a few times, even during Alpha, and I would tell everyone about it. And one day it became so painful, I had nowhere left to go. And these guys were telling me about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And, you know, at first I didn't know what either of them meant. And they're three different things that are actually all one thing. I don't know what you're talking about. I found myself in a car park on my knees praying for the Holy Spirit to remove this obsession of the drugs that I had on me. It was very fast, but the next morning this obsession was removed, and that is the honest truth.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
So thank you.
So, if there's anybody thinking perhaps they'd like to try Alpha, or they've got a friend that they'd like to take to Alpha, what would you say?
Oh, definitely give it a go. I think I'd say, even if you're already a Christian, you know, go and listen and learn something else. It's all good and well coming to church on a Sunday, but are you really working for it?
Thanks, Russell.
Thank you.
If you want some leaflets, actually, the specific Alpha printed leaflets, so I think we've only got two left on the desk out there, so it's very popular. But in the big autumn welcome leaflet that looks like that, there is a invite in that document. Do take one of those. All the details are in there. We're meeting at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings at the Cowley Road coffee shop, not here. Do please pray for somebody to bring along, or come yourself, as Russell said. It's a great way of refreshing your faith and invigorating your faith with testimonies like this. So, yeah, we look forward to seeing you there. Thank you.
He's staying up. Okay. No, Russell, he's staying up. And just say, it starts this Wednesday. So do chat to Colin. We've already, I think, got 9 signed up, which is really encouraging, and please pray for that special thing. There's an update on this. Something that happened this Wednesday, which started this Wednesday, which I think God has really led Russell into. And a couple of weeks ago, do you remember we were looking at the last of our parable series? We were looking at the parable of the great banquet. And particularly when we did it at the evening service, we were praying that God would give us opportunities to go out into the highways and byways and find those people, perhaps who were often excluded, or perhaps didn't fit, or just perhaps people others overlooked. And said, well, God, will you bring those people in? Will you show us how we can bring those people in? Well, after we prayed that, 2 days later, Russell phoned me. Do you want to just say, and do you want to say what's just started this week?
Yeah. I phoned David. Hello. We've started a group called CA. It's for addiction and for people on the streets that have nowhere to go and are lost, pretty much like I was. I know Malvern's a lovely place and we have a lot of filtered coffee, but there's also a lot of trouble around, you know. And there's a lot of pain and people need the help, so we've opened a meeting on a Wednesday at 8:30 for anybody who wants a new life, you know. It's worked for me. I was hopeless and now I'm here, you know.
And so Russell has now set this group up, which meets here in our church centre on Wednesday nights at 7:30, while there's a whole load of other things going on. And I think it's amazing. This is God leading Russell into ministering to others. He's received the love of God, and he's now just offering that to others and being used by God in a mighty way. So I'm going to pray. Can I pray for you and pray for that group? Lord, we thank you for what you have done in Russell's life. We continue to pray for protection for him, that you'd walk with him, that you continue to heal him from this addiction, that he would be strong in you and know the continued power of the Spirit helping him walk your way. And we thank you so much for this group which he set up here and made happen and that met for the first time this week, this CA group. And we bless that in the name of Jesus. That may be a place where people would find new life, and maybe even for a stepping stone for some to come and connect with you as well, the big higher power that so often they talk about. So we pray blessing there. And thank you for Russell and this ministry that you've given him. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David.
So encouraging what God is doing, and please keep praying. That's a course for the adults. The exciting bit is we've also got a course for the youth, which is going to start on October the 4th, at least with the Source Church as well, and we're hoping some other churches in Malvern are going to come and join us. That's going to be based here. I'm meeting Dan, George and I are meeting Dan and the intern up at the Source Church tomorrow to plan that. There are leaflets, publicity, you can book online for that now if you've got parents of years 7 to 11. If you know of other youth around that might come along to that, you know, we're going to have great fun. There's going to be pizza, lots of it. There's going to be games. There's going to be the Alpha Talks and some discussion. So please pray for that. But that is now open for bookings. Village Fete later on this afternoon. Do come down. It's open 1 till 4. And please pray. You know, this is a great opportunity for us to connect with our community, to advertise some of the things going on, to have some great conversations. So come along and support that. It's going to be a fun afternoon. And come and pray too. And bereavement events coming up soon. Next Sunday is our memorial service. If you have someone who you'd like to remember, who you've lost recently, or you know someone who would like to do that, then we'll have our special sort of 45-minute service where we read out names as a chance to light a candle to, I think, pick up something to do with sunflowers. I think Peter's planning, Peter's organising that. And then we have the bereavement journey course starting the week after that. So if you've got people who you think that would be useful for, please do connect up with them. And just to say, if you're new here today, we are really keen to connect up with you. One of the easy ways of connecting up with us is on our website, www.standrewsnorthsaints.org, and clicking the Connect With Us button on there on the front page. And there you can put in some of your details and say, I'd like to connect up with Alpha or Life Group, or particularly to receive our church mailing, which is our weekly notice sheet, which we don't print anymore, but is an electronic one. And that tells you all the things that are going on. So you can get access to that via that or one of the other buttons on the front page too. So if you're new, please do connect up with us that way or catch up with us at the end of the service. And we have bands of marriage today. I don't think they're here, but we have a really lovely, shall we say, senior couple getting married. Not here, but at Christchurch, but they're in our parish. So I published the bands of marriage between Michael Frederick Collins of this parish and Angela Mary Pugh of this parish. This is for the first time of asking. If anyone knows any reason why they may not be married, you are to declare it. Let's just pray for them, and then Joe's going to come and lead us in our other prayers. So, Lord, we pray for Michael and Angela. We pray that you would be the source of all their love. Grant them joy of heart, seriousness of mind, and reverence of spirit as they enter into the oneness of marriage, that they may be strengthened and guided by you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, we're just going to move into some prayer together now. So if you just want to relax, take a breath, and let's just draw close to God together. When I was reading this morning, watching an amazing sunrise, you may have seen it as well, but it reminded me of the power and awesomeness of God, this blazing sun in the sky, and yet our God is good. He doesn't frazzle us up with it. He gives us good things. And I was reading Psalm 138, verse 3, which said, "When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted." If we don't feel that today, God can meet us now. Lord, make us bold and stout-hearted because of your love and your goodness to us. And Lord, we've heard some amazing things already this morning. We thank you that you are a God who is active in the world today and in our lives and in situations. And we thank you for the Alpha course worldwide it is going on, in prisons, in churches, in community centres, and many, many hundreds of thousands of people have been touched by that course. And we just pray you will continue to bless it in the name of Jesus so that people may have a new life, a new start, a new experience as they move forward. Lord, we pray for our local community that you would just knit us together in loving fellowship, in caring for each other, as we have seen over many months in this area. And Lord, we pray, we've had a busy week in the country, not just sport, but lots of things going on that are on your heart just as much as on those people who are involved in it. We need your wisdom, Lord, as we live and trade and think of the economy and think of people and their circumstances from day to day. And we pray for your wisdom on our government and leaders, whether it's to do with vaccinating children, booster jabs for some of us. Let us remember that, Lord, there is a world out there somewhere that hasn't even had a jab yet. And we pray that that will hurry and soon be on the agenda. We've had talks about decisions on funding and organisation of social care. Lord, may we be a just society, a caring society, and guide those who are involved in those discussions. Maybe even some people here who are involved in that type of work, you will be affected. And we pray that the right thing will be done for you in that capacity too. There's been the issue of migrants landing on the south coast and the border force taking more action against them. This could go in all sorts of directions, Lord. We pray for your wisdom in that situation of care for refugees and asylum seekers coming to our shores. Lord, may we be kind and be generous to the stranger and alien that we come across, O Lord, in this sort of capacity. And we pray for Malvern Welcomes, an organisation that is trying to reach out in that particular area locally. And Lord God, we pray for the wider world. I don't know which country would pop into your mind or which situation would pop into your mind at this very moment to do with the wider world. We've just been thinking about 9/11 20 years on, haven't we? Lord, may we have learnt something from that situation. Lord, we pray your peace. And we pray your peace for Afghanistan and its people whom you love. And we pray, Lord, that there will be progress in the formation of a government that is appropriate and which cares for its population, every aspect of the population. And we pray your blessing on people still there and still working there and believers who are working there. And we also pray for Lebanon. I was listening to the World Service, which I do a lot, and they were talking about the shortage of fuel and oil and therefore shortage of electricity. So there's no transport and power and you can't work your fridge and therefore you can't keep food in that warm or hot climate. Lord, we pray that you would bring some sort of release in that economy, in that country. And it's particularly close to our heart because Eloise has just come back from there, and we know Mike Bassous, who still works there in the Bible Society, and we pray your blessing on him and the work that he does. So many things, Lord, so many people that you love and care about. We just ask, O God, that you would show us how and where we can serve you in these particular areas. Whether it's in prayer, whether it's giving, whether it's going, as your Spirit leads us. May we be those that in trust and faith follow you as individuals, as groups, and as a church here in Malvern. Overall, generally, we just ask that you would guide us as you show us where you want us specifically to minister. We thank you that you've already begun that, as we were hearing from Russell. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer in the name of Jesus. And let's join together with the prayer that Jesus himself shared with us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Peter's going to come and bring us our reading, and then David's going to share God's word with us.
This morning's reading may be found in Luke's Gospel, Chapter 15, and beginning to read at verse 13. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had and set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods of the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him, and filled with compassion for him, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to him, to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, "What was going on?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Scriptures. As we reflect on your word to us this day, make us open to your wisdom, receptive to your will, and courageous in our response. In the love of Jesus, our Saviour, teacher, and friend. Amen. Encountering the heart of God. What is God like? About a century ago, Benjamin Judd was a leading Oxford academic. He was Master of Balliol College, Oxford. In those days, everyone, especially students, were expected to believe in God. It was the done thing. Well, there was one particularly either courageous or stupid student who either refused to attend college chapel or made it widely known that he was an atheist. Jowett was furious. He summoned the student to his study. "Find a God by the end of term or leave college." Fortunately, most of us don't have that same kind of urgency. But nonetheless, the question remains, what is God like? Well, we don't have to stumble around in the darkness, for God has revealed himself to us in Jesus. Indeed, the New Testament throbs with the reality that in Jesus, we see God himself. Or as one of the Bible writers expressed it, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." But God was not silent before Jesus came to this earth. 1,300 years beforehand, God revealed himself to his servant Moses, the leader of his people. And he passed in front of Moses, we read, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Here we encounter for the first time the very heart of God himself. And this morning we're simply going to focus on those opening words, words that speak volumes to us. For our God is first and foremost compassionate and gracious. Compassionate. Do you know, I was amazed to discover last week that the word compassion or compassionate appears in the Bible, in Scripture, over 100 times. But you know, if I'm honest, it wouldn't be the first word I would use in my encounter with God. As I look back over, well, half a century plus of Christian discipleship, God is forgiving. Yes, I thank heavens for that. God is patient. I've experienced his patience despite my rebellion many times. God is faithful. Yes, he is. But despite all this, I so easily still live with a guilt complex. Regrets over the past. The wasted opportunities. The lack of prayer. Lips sealed when I should have shared the love of God. And as I look back now, my discipleship, if I'm being honest, is 3 steps forward, 2 steps backwards. Compassion? No, that really didn't enter my mind when encountering the heart of God. Compassion, where does that come in? It's derived from a root word, rahm. And the closest you can get to this is the love, the unconditional love that parents have for their children. John Mark Comer in his book puts it like this: the love of a man for a woman, of a soldier for their country, of a sports fan for their team, none of it comes even close to the love of a parent for their children. It's how God feels about you. Before we had our own family, I was always rather nervous in the company of small babies. Liz was even more nervous than I was when I baptized them, because she was afraid I'd drop them in the font. I suppose I almost unconsciously shared the attitude of my father-in-law, who himself produced 7 children. And he said that to him, all babies were alike. They leak at one end and squeak at the other. But my attitude changed completely when Daniel, our firstborn, appeared. And I remember praying over him when he was only about an hour old, praying above all that he wouldn't inherit the sins of his father. And this was vividly brought home to me only 5 months ago when Sarah, our daughter, gave birth to her firstborn son, Archie. He was quite small, about 5 pounds, and Will, Archie's dad, held this tiny child in his arms, as you see there. And he simply said, Archie, I love you so much. And this is a glimpse of how God feels about you. His compassion for you. He loves you so much. Compassionate, and then gracious. God's amazing grace. Compassion is a feeling word. Gracious, by contrast, is an action word. God comes to the rescue when we need help. I was reading about a conference that took place many years ago where the question which still comes up today, what is unique about Christianity? And the great apologist, C.S. Lewis, was present. And he said, oh, that's easy, very easy. The unique thing about Christianity, it's grace. Grace. The notion of God's love coming to us, free of charge, no strings attached, seems to go against our every instinct. The Buddhist Eightfold Path, the Hindu doctrine of karma, the Jewish covenant, the Muslim code of law, each of these offers a way to earn approval. Only Christianity dares to make God's love unconditional. Can we take that on board? Only Christianity dares to take God's love, make God's love unconditional. Compassion and grace. God in the person of Jesus reaching down to us as we are. How often we see this illustrated in the life of Jesus. People come to him, the sick, the blind, the lame, the deaf, the dumb, the paralyzed, the mentally disturbed, the demon-possessed. In story after story, they come to him utterly helpless. And in his compassion, in his grace, he healed them, and they went away rejoicing. And not just in healing, but in the parables he taught that God is compassionate and gracious, that he came for those above all who would otherwise be excluded. Think of the Good Samaritan, the lost sheep, the workers in the vineyard, the friend in need, the Samaritan woman, encountering the heart of God, compassionate and gracious perhaps, but supremely seen in the parable that Peter read to us a moment ago. What shall we call this parable? Let's look at the story before we decide. It's so well known. A lad has had enough of the restrictions of home life. He's bored, he feels hemmed in, and he decides to kick over the traces and begin a new life. This young man, however, is more brazen than most. "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." One paraphrase puts it even more bluntly. "Father, give me my share of the property, and I want it now." In the culture in which Jesus lived, for the son to ask for his share of the inheritance was as good as wishing that his father was dead. What followed, of course, was reasonably predictable. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and travelled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. Imagine the luxurious mansion, the eating, the drinking, the girlfriends, the fast cars, or rather camels. All went well for a while until the inevitable happened. He ran out of money and he landed up in the gutter, or perhaps I should say more correctly, the pigsty. And for a Jew to feed pigs, unclean animals, and even to have to eat their food was about as low as you can get. Well, eventually he came to his senses. He wanted to go home. Anything would be better than the mess he was now in. And as he returned home, as we read from the story, he rehearses what he's going to say to his dad. And he says he had his speech all ready when he got home. If he told his father he was truly sorry, he might even take him in as one of the hard hands, the labourers. A labourer, a hard hand, then had an even lower status than a slave. Surely that wouldn't be too much to ask, and even that would be better than the pigsty. The parable of the prodigal son. Possibly, that's the familiar title, isn't it? But is it right? Let's leave that son for a moment and turn to his brother, the elder brother. At first sight, he's totally different from his younger brother. This son is responsible, earnest, hard-working. He has a great sense of obligation, of duty. And as he later bitterly says to his father, "All these years I have worked like a slave, and I've never disobeyed your orders. What have you given me?" He was so sure of himself, his rights. He'd earned his status. He deserved his inheritance. Yet, if you look closely, there is a darker side to his character. He, too, is lost. In a different way, perhaps, but lost in his meanness and resentment, in his self-centeredness, in his lack of compassion. See the way he bitterly refers to this son of yours, forgetting, as his father reminded him, that he was also his brother. Again, the father's love is so apparent. Again, he goes out to plead with the elder son, just as he'd rushed out to welcome his younger brother. So even now, he pleads with this self-righteous, arrogant elder son, who so insulted him by refusing to join in the party. So perhaps we should call it the parable of the lost sons, in the plural, the lost sons. But there is, however, a third possibility. Let's now rejoin the younger son, the prodigal, on his journey home. While he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran out, put his arms round him, and kissed him. This is the heart of God. Compassionate and gracious. The son's words of apology come tumbling out. Dad, I'm so sorry. I've been an idiot. I failed. I'm no longer fit to be called your son. But the father wouldn't listen. He took the rags off his son and dressed him in the best of robes, a sign of honor. He put a ring on his finger, a sign of authority. And most significant of all, he put sandals on his feet, the sign of sonship. The son has returned home, and no celebration is too great to mark his homecoming. And I believe Jesus told this story for a very simple reason. However far the country to which we have journeyed, there's always, always, always the opportunity to come home. To come home where the Father, his arms outstretched, is waiting to welcome us. Yet there is one more aspect to consider. Many of us thank God for our childhood and loving, caring parents. But there are also those of us who have scarred memories of family life, of parental neglect, even abuse. It's hard then, isn't it, to accept the love of a heavenly father? Yet I came across the example of Carl Tuttle. If you've been through the Alpha course, you will have heard of him. But bear with me, though, because his story is well worth repeating. Carl is an American pastor. He came from a broken home. He had a very unhappy childhood, and he says his father abused him. After he became a Christian, on one occasion he particularly wanted to hear what God was saying to him, so he went out into the country, somewhere quiet, where he could pray for a whole day without being interrupted. So he arrived, he began to pray, but after 15 minutes he felt he wasn't getting anywhere at all. So he drove home again, feeling very depressed and disappointed. He told his wife that he'd go to see Zachary, his 2-month-old baby. He went into the room and picked him up. As he was holding him, he felt an incredible love welling from within him. A love for this baby boy. And he started crying and talking to him. Zachary, he said, I love you. I love you with all my heart. No matter what happens in this life, I will always love you. I'll never harm you. I'll always protect you. I'll always be your father. I'll always be your friend. I'll always care for you. I'll always nurture you. And I'll do all this. I'll do all this. No matter what sins you commit. No matter what you do. No matter whether you turn from me or from God. Suddenly, Carl sensed that he was in God's arms and that God was saying, Carl, you are my son and I love you no matter what you do, no matter where you go. I'll always care for you. I'll always provide you. I'll always guide you. So what is it to be? The parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the lost sons, or the parable of the forgiving father. I know which I choose, for as we truly encounter the heart of God, we discover that he is indeed compassionate and gracious. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for Scripture, for this wonderful story, showing your compassion and your incredible grace. Lord, what is of you, keep clearly in our minds, we pray. And help us more and more to draw nearer to you as we encounter your heart, so compassionate and so gracious. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're just going to take a few moments to just allow God to meet us in those words. Allow God to say whatever he wants to say to each of us. I think for some, actually, we just need to know more than anything that God describes himself as compassionate, first of all. And just focus on what it means that we have a compassionate God, a God who's compassionate to us. Maybe there's also others here today who, some of us who are, if we admit it, feeling lost, even though on the surface, you know, we might have it all sorted. Maybe over the pandemic, we've lost our way with God. We've perhaps walked into a distant country with God and know we're not back at home where he wants us to be. Maybe there are some here who, just through circumstances, are feeling in the pigsty of life. Just hear what David said. He said, always, there's always the opportunity to come home. There's always the opportunity to come home. And I think that's God's invitation for all of us this morning. Come home. Come home. Come home knowing the arms of love of the Father are ready to welcome us. Going to play a video now, and I just invite you to, as this song and the pictures play, just allow God to minister to you and meet you where you are this morning.
Thank you.
I have heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you are singing over me, the Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of love has sent for me, and now you're singing over me, the Father's song. I have heard so many songs, listened to a thousand songs, but there is one that sounds above them all. Thank you, Lord, the Father's song, the Father's love. You sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony. You are singing over me, the Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of love has sent for me, and now you're singing over me, the Father's song. Let us hear your song over us tonight, O God. The song of your grace, the song of your love. Singing over me, the Father's song, the Father's song, the Father's love. You sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. You've written it in love. Written it in grace, into the depths of our hearts, Father.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. So we're going to sing our final song now, and just maybe someone would like to go and just ask the children if they wanted to come in. For the children to be with us for the final song, it'd be lovely to have that. I know if just God's been at work in you, if you're feeling after just watching that and hearing what's been said this morning that you'd like someone to pray for you, then feel free during this song just to come to the front corner here. Perhaps one or two people who could offer to pray for others could come forward and just be there to pray for people. But we want to give you that opportunity. So sit and listen. Stand and sing, come and receive prayer, allow God to keep meeting with you, whatever you need to do as we sing this final song, Reckless Love.
Voice.
just want to say, particularly if you are new to faith or wanting to explore about this God, then, you know, I've got a really helpful booklet called The Big Welcome, which is based on the story we've heard this morning, and I'd love to give that to you, or there's some on the welcome desk as you go out. Do pick one of those up. It's a great little read if this is all quite new to you. And do think about coming and joining us on Alpha and have a chat to Colin and Russell to find out more. But let's finish with a blessing. Lord, we thank you that you are a compassionate and gracious God. We thank you that you're slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. And may we know that grace, may we know that compassion, may we know that love and forgiveness as we go out from here to a needy world. And may our hearts be transformed to be more like your hearts. So may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all now and always. Amen. Coffee is going to be served outside. Do stay. If you just want to be in that bit more space with God, the band will continue to play. If you want someone to pray with you, come down into this corner. Perhaps Joe, Helen, Alice might come this way and pray. Otherwise, we look forward to connecting you outside and maybe at the Village Fete this afternoon.
head to heart, I'm fully loved.